Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
First, my friend, thank you so much for coming down, man. And when was the last time you and I saw each other?
Summer?
Probably summertime.
Maybe. Was it when did we talk before we went out with No Doubt?
I do believe so. That was it. How did that all work out?
It was great. It was an amazing tour.
Yeah. What was the best part about it?
Well, we got to sing a song in the encore with Gwen and the band. That was cool.
Oh, cool. Did you actually get a chance to stand behind her?
Yeah. I did one or two times on stage. Why is that?
I just want to know, is it as good in front as it is from the back?
Oh, I see what you're trying to get at.
Yes, I am.
You know what? When you're on tour, you're just so professional. And she's more of a colleague, so I don't, you know, it's not...
Oh.
She's a beautiful woman, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
It's not like, you don't, it's not like just... on the cover of Glamour. She's a presence.
Yeah, yeah. No, there.
And she's had two kids, so.
That's the thing that amazes me so much about her, man. And I've talked to the hubby many, many a time, man, and I always say to him, you lucky dog. And he's, yes,
yeah,
yes,
you should
I
definitely
am.
Tell him that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's like, yes, I am. Yes, I am. But, you know, folks are extremely lucky, too, man. You got something coming out now, too.
I have a solo record, right?
Congratulations on that. Is this something that you've been thinking about doing for a while, or?
Maybe a year. Year and a half. I started writing it like in seriousness a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the No Doubt tour was going to come out, and we delayed it for a bit, and in the meantime started a record label and started working on New Bedouin stuff. So now it's coming out now.
That is fantastic. But at the same time, though, I mean, people always think as soon as somebody who's in a group does a solo album, it's like, okay, that's it. The band is over with. They're gone or whatever. Can we first just confirm this before rumors start flying around? That is not going to happen.
No, that's not. That's actually the opposite of what's happening. Because of the solo record, we are now working together again. It was like I needed to go and write something totally different from Bedouin, just not feel like I was in that band for a bit. And now, actually, even this week, we're... Eon, we have a new drummer, Seku, who's amazing, and we're getting ready to play some shows at the Olympics. So it was necessary to continue on.
What's the difference from when you're writing for yourself to then writing with Bedouin?
I think honesty, really. Like I, and not that I wasn't being honest with Bedouin, but over the years you sort of grow up and change. And Bedouin had become Bedouin Soundclash had become something in the public, so I started to kind of drift away from that as a person, and so the solo stuff's far more personal. It's intensely personal,
mm-hmm.
And maybe a bit darker than well, it's darker in sound and darker in subject than I would with Battle than the stuff I'd write with Eon.
So then I'm curious then, so because when you talked about, you know, you had to get this out, it sounds like you were purging.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. But, so what is the difference then, and I got to really say this correctly to make sure I get this across right, what is the difference then when you're getting that, you get something from being with Bedouin Soundclash, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're getting something else from writing and recording on your own.
Yeah.
I think that's what the question I'm trying to get into is, what is the difference and what do you get from Bedouin Soundclash that maybe you don't get on your own and then vice versa?
Well, I think when Bedouin Soundclash started when I met Eon, and it was, hey, I like Joe Strummer and I just heard you playing a Desmond Dekker record, and it was a collective thing and we inspired each other. So it's kind of a collective celebration. And I think that's something that comes across in Bedouin's music was it's joyous. It's celebrating life.
Absolutely.
It's celebrating being differences. You know, we wanted to make something different and something that we weren't comfortable with. Like Eon, you know, he grew up in a certain way. He wasn't really comfortable like knowing, like playing something that was similar to The Clash. And I wasn't really comfortable doing more like, you know, dance hall oriented stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great ignition point. When I started going through some personal issues, I don't really want to bring that. It's not that I can't express myself in a piece of me in Bedouin, but I can't. But I would rather it just made more sense to be separate and make myself feel a bit autonomous outside of Bedouin, which had just totally encapsulated my entire life. Which it can't be. You know, you can't just be like Jay and Eon from a band, which is what we became. Oh, look, it's Eon from Bedouin, or it's Jay from Badawan. It's like, you don't feel like a human being anymore. So
it's important to have your own identity at times?
Of course. I think in anything. I mean, I don't know if you're married or not, but you need to set some boundaries.
Oh, absolutely. You have to.
I'm not, but I'm sure it must be hard.
Oh, no. I I am not married, but been in long-term relationships and one now again. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you do.
You do, right? So it's like, you just need to go away for a bit and reassess everything. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. I needed to go through some things on my own, and I needed to write some stuff that was just naturally what I would normally do.
So what do we get to hear then in your story? What are the things, because you know, one of the most important words is you said, this is darker than what you would hear from Bedouin Soundclash.
Right. Maybe dark is the wrong word, but very highly personal. I think I get to, like, because it's not beat oriented, so it's like it's a singer-songwriter record. The lyrics are extremely important to me, and it's like 50% of the record is lyrics and 50% is music, which I think with Bedouin it would be a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I guess just every song was something that I had to get out. It wasn't mm-hmm. something that I could put down or whatever. I didn't have to do. Every song was. It reflected a highly intense moment for me.
Right.
Whether it was the band literally falling apart because we used to have another drummer and we'd gotten to the end of our rope with everything and we couldn't work together anymore. And then I was in a long-term relationship which fell apart. So it was like a 7-year period which all came crashing down. And when that kind of falls away, you realize you haven't changed much since you were 21. Mm-hmm. Now you're a bit older. So especially when you play in a band, you can be as old as you want.
It's true. And I was going to jump, but what is it about 7 years?
7 years is the magic number, right?
Twice. Happened to me twice.
Did it really?
7 years.
Because I've heard that's when most marriages break up. After, yeah. If you survive past 7 years, you've done.
You've done well. I've never gotten past 7 years. I have made it right up to 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And then kaput, my last one, which is now 2 years ago. 7 years.
7 years.
Kaput. What is it about 7 years?
I don't know. And I'll tell you, like, a band is a marriage too, right? So it's... I don't know. I think at a certain point, you can maybe think you can ride it out, and then at the 7-year mark, you're just like, you know what? This should have happened 3 years ago, but for some reason, we'll choose 7. But I don't know. And 27, right? 27. That's what people started telling me. They're like, you know what?
Yep.
You got to watch out because you're 27. You know what's going to happen to you, right? You're in a band. And I was down in Austin, Texas, and a guy from my label was out, and he told me that. And I was like, okay. So I got to start thinking about that because I'm not young anymore or younger.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, too, as we're talking, it really sounds like, not to say that Bedouin Soundclash doesn't, their music isn't an art form, but it sounds like for you, this one was really in more of in an artist state.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it was definitely, the past year of my life was definitely quite dark and tormented.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where I was finding most of my inspiration.
Wow.
So there's years there, yeah. So
I was going to say, so now when you're looking back at this and you're listening back to this, uh-huh. How do you feel about expressing yourself in this manner to fans? I mean, it's one thing when you write music to purge.
Yeah.
You can say, okay, I've got it, put it away, put it in. It's like people who write Dear Diary, I hate this person, blah, 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 whatever. Put it away. It's locked up. Yeah. Not you, man. All I got to do is go on iTunes, and there it is.
You know, it's funny. It's actually, I didn't really think critically about that. It's a good question. Because that's what it was for me. I had no expectation. I was just writing. And then as it starts going public, and at first you're kind of like, yeah, I want people to see this. But I actually had that moment like about 2 weeks ago where I was thinking, I don't really know if I want people to know about this. And also now all these songs I wrote about people that I knew are now hurt by them. And now I'm also going to have to own up to my past in a public way. So it's, I don't know. There's something, I think every artist is sort of an extroverted introvert in that way. You want to make something very private, public, so that you can share it and maybe have that joint experience that makes you feel connected to life. But then at the same time, then you want to try to pull it back because you've given too much away of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely know that that my ex-girlfriend doesn't like this record.
Then it's a good record.
She's like, I'm not looking forward to this coming out. And that's when I realized, I'm like, you know what? I don't know. That's the point where you, I guess, really throw yourself to becoming an artist, is when you kind of give your life up that way.
Yeah.
Certain parts of it.
Yeah, and you know how it is, man. And taking a step further, I don't know if it's a step further or a step back, critics. How do you handle that? Or how do you handle them?
I had a lot of problem with them when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things that started really affecting all of us psychologically in the band, was you go to England and then there's like a bad review. And I think like, it just really teaches you have to, instead of having like a fragile, you know, having a super ego or an ego that's based on what other people think of you, you have to just literally learn the hardest way possible to just believe in what you believe in and not worry about what other people think.
And, so true.
And most people, and when you're in a band, it's hyper, or anything artistic, it's hyper magnified, because everyone has an opinion on what you do. So even if I see my mom or my dad or my sister or my friends in Vancouver, it's like, oh, I read this about you. It's like it's a very strange existence, right?
No, see, and you know, and the reason why I brought that up is, and I'm glad we did with this conversation, because people don't realize, I mean, when they're cutting up, when people are making jokes, like, say, Britney Spears or whoever, right? Mm. Fine. You think it's funny, blah, blah, blah. You have no idea what it's like for that person who is sitting there to have to hear this or read this and have it out there in front of millions of people. It's a different world, like you said.
I think it says a lot about who we are as a society right now, that we are voyeuristic but without any substance. And I think we don't care about the art people make, but more about what surrounds everything else that comes with it. Who's their girlfriend? How many times have they gone to rehab? Like, you know, it just, things that aren't important. And then we wonder why we have auto-tune everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just because we don't take the time to really appreciate anything for what it is.
I absolutely agree with you there, my friend. But to appreciate your music live is always a nice way to work it in there.
Yeah.
Are you going to be touring this album?
Yeah, I will be.
Where are you going to be?
Across Canada with Kenny Starr and Michael Rault. And yeah, we'll be from Vancouver. Not the East Coast, but hopefully we'll go later. But from Montreal to Vancouver.
Definitely
in
Toronto.
In March. Yeah, in Toronto at the Rivoli.
Fantastic. And when is that going to be happening? Do we know?
I don't know.
I'm guessing. You've got to be Canadian Music Week.
Yeah, we're doing Canadian Music with Beto and Soundclash with our new lineup.
Beautiful.
March 6th. And then March 12th, Beto and Soundclash.
Fantastic. So definitely we got you during Canadian Music Week. That is a good thing. Website and Twitter, do you have that? And if so, what do we do to follow you around on that?
Twitter I have. I'm just starting to twit.
I can't stand twitting, so.
Do you not twit?
Man, they're trying to make me do it, and I'm just like.
You're like, I'm not twatting anymore.
Yeah. I think we got the terminology right.
Twat. I don't like to twat. So it's, I don't know, my Twitter, it's Jay Malinowski. I haven't figured out how to use it yet either.
Yeah.
I don't know why people are interested in what I'm eating for breakfast.
Same here. Yeah. I don't get it.
And then I don't know, my website. I have a MySpace.
MySpace?
I don't know.
We can always find
you. You can just put my name and I'm sure there's something coming.
Can always find you. So it's an easy thing to do.
I'm available.
My friend, I'm going to look for you during Canadian Music Week. Congratulations on
your job. Hey, thanks a lot for having me.